Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Coming to you from my basement, down to you in Eastern Plains, Colorado. I'm a homeschool father of five. Steve Onelson, studio homeschool father of six. And we are reporting from inside an insane asylum we call our world. From time to time, we like to state as the slow but steady unraveling of faith, family, and freedom. But really, rationality. We now live in an insane world. And speaking to rational people, I've had conversations with rational people. That is some of our leaders, some of our most esteemed leaders across this country today. And as we speak of what's going on with the Supreme Court of the United States, with Obergefell and other rulings, I really think, Steve, that many of these leaders believe that we are in such an irrational condition, they hardly know how to interpret what is going on anymore at the highest courts of the land. What we see is an unraveling of rationality, especially since Obergefell. What we're seeing is a redefinition of everything. I think Obergefell was the first time in which the highest powers of the land have indicated that there is no more the established order of the family, no more the established order of marriage that has been the established order, even among pagan nations. We're talking about loin-clothed pagans over a period of 6,000 years. What we're seeing is an unraveling of the rational systems. God has given us over to a depraved mind, and not just individuals here and there, but the entire nation has been given over to a corrupted, depraved mind. Steve, I mean, I think we are living in an insane asylum right now, and we report from that insane asylum to those that are still thinking rationally.
Yeah, I would agree. And, it, you know, in the past, you might see one nation here and there that was going off the deep end. But it seems as though every nation in the world, with maybe the exception of Uganda, but
and Samoa,
yes. Samoa becoming a Christian
That's right.
island. So
That's right.
So they might end up getting pretty populated here by the rational people. But who knows?
Yeah, I hope there's room for us.
Yeah.
There may be.
It may be so.
Yeah, I don't think they're large islands, but I think they could accommodate another 10,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
That may be all that's left.
Well, the gods of the world have spoken, my friends. That is the gods of the Supreme Court of the United States by a vote of 6-3 this time. The gods of the world have spoken again, disqualifying an Arkansas law that required a court order if two women wanted to be parents noted on a birth certificate. Or a dog or a cat or whatever, wanted to be noted on a birth certificate, used to require a court order in the state of Arkansas, and not so anymore. In the state of Arkansas, apparently the Supreme Court of the United States, by a vote of 6-3, disqualified an Arkansas law that required a court order if two lesbians wanted to be noted on a child's birth certificate. You know, Steve, at one time what mattered was the biological possessor of the X chromosome and XY chromosome that that made it into the womb. The egg come together. You know, the sperm came from somewhere. The egg came from somewhere. At one time, that mattered.
Yeah.
And eventually that made it onto a birth certificate. That is, somebody understood or knew who the parent was, who the biological parent was. Those were the names contained on the birth certificate. Now all bets are off.
Yeah, and what's going to do is going to cause tons of confusion when that child gets old enough to realize what does make a baby, but also that's going to take care of all the records of going back if there's any kind of genetic disorder. I mean, the non-biological mother isn't going to be, you know, you can't go back there and say, so why has this person got cystic fibrosis or why do they have this genetic disorder? We can't know anymore because the father and the mother are no longer listed.
The biological parents no longer a concern for the birth certificates in Arkansas by ruling of the Supreme Court in the United States. And that's a 6-3 ruling in which I guess pretty much anybody that wants to be on a birth certificate will wind up on the birth certificate of a child. Mass confusion is what's happening across this country now. Whoever wants to be the parent of the child, whoever wants to pretend to be the father of the child, who wants to pretend to be the mother of the child, if you want to switch later, I guess no big deal. Go ahead and do so. If, you know, if the father decides to want to be the mother wants to decide to be the father, I guess just swap.
Just swap your names.
They just identify that way.
Yeah,
today.
Sure.
So you might want to get a stack of the birth certificates because today you might be something else.
Yeah, it's chaos, my friends. It's chaos as God gives them up to a debased mind. That's Romans chapter 1 that outlines the approach, the trends that happen in human society as human society becomes increasingly degraded. And, of course, this kind of thing has been seen in pagan nations from time to time, but probably not to the extent we're seeing the unraveling of human civilization in our day. Well, based upon Hearst evidence, it seems that Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch did the right thing. He actually was on the dissent on this one, along with Alito and Thomas.
So I would say decent.
It was a decent dissent. Descent, right.
Yes.
Gorsuch stuck with Alito and Thomas on the dissent, and we're thankful for that. But Roberts went the other way on Perrin versus Smith, this Arkansas law. Roberts went the other way. He's not dependable. It hasn't been since he was appointed by George W. Bush. You know, Kennedy was appointed by Reagan, and, of course, we got a cockroach in the box of chocolates. And the same thing, I think, is happening with Roberts. Appointed by Bush, we may have another cockroach in the chocolates. He did the wrong thing on Obamacare. You remember
yes.
that. He was the one vote that tipped Obamacare the wrong direction. What was it, 3 to 4 years ago? And the same thing is happening now, friends, with the issue of homosexuality. John Roberts doing the wrong thing. It seems to me there's always somebody who's going to lack the integrity to take the right position. And this we see since Sandra Day O'Connor. We see this with Kennedy. We also see it with John Roberts. Again and again and again and again, we see a lapse of integrity amongst the conservatives. Why? Because we're living in an age of the lapse of faith. I mean, you can count on the leaders of this country apostatizing, turning the wrong direction again and again and again and again, because there's a lack of character and a lack of integrity amongst the leaders, the most important leaders in the land right now. And with Kennedy retiring, we may find a good appointment. Gorsuch was something of a decent appointee on the part of the President of the United States, so we're thankful that Gorsuch went the right way on the Arkansas law. But, you know, even if Kennedy retires and we get another decent appointee, it looks to me like John Roberts is just going to be another Kennedy, so we'll be back to 5-4.
Yes, and so since he can't be counted on and has shown himself to be unreliable in conservative and even constitutional matters, which you would think that he would be up on constitutional matters, being that he's a Supreme Court judge, but we can't count on him now.
Best case, Kennedy retires, and we get a decent appointee on the part of the President of the United States. We'll be back to 5-4, and we will be losing, and we will continue to lose thanks to Chief Justice John Roberts and his lack of integrity. Be back with more on the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson.
Time is limited, especially for fathers who are juggling work, leading their families, and keeping up with the busyness of life. But we know that time with Dad, especially for boys, is essential to raising the leaders we need for the future. Finding it tough to spend quality time with your son? Come to the Father-Son Retreat this September and experience the luxury of 4 days of quality time. It's just you, your son, and other dads and boys at one of America's most beautiful and exciting mountain lodges for a weekend retreat near Winter Park, Colorado. With solid teaching, manly fellowship, mountain activities, and plenty of time to talk and just be together. Each year, the lives of boys and their dads are forever changed by the impact of the relationships and truth from the Father-Son Retreat. Will you make it a part of your discipleship this year? Register now at www.coloradofathersun.com.
And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. As we consider what's going on at the top court of the land, the U.S. Supreme Court has announced that they will take the Jack Phillips case, the Denver Christian Baker case, in which a Denver Christian Baker refused service to homosexuals who demanded support for their homosexual wedding or for their neuronic agenda. That is basically repeating what the Caesar Nero did when he married some young men in the first century. And this sort of thing, this abomination has been returned to the modern world in which mass apostasy is going on, and the worst possible abominations are being repeated in our country as well. Of course, Christians are being persecuted at the same time, because remember that the neuronic agenda always involves two things. So anytime people get involved in the neuronic agenda, they're interested in two things, not one thing, just two things. They want to be sure that sodomy is brought back into human civilization, but they also want to be sure that they're persecuting true Christians at the same time. This is the beastly agenda that gets repeated again and again throughout history. Exactly what Nero did. Nero is known for two things: homosexual weddings and persecuting Christians. And that's precisely what the Supreme Court of the United States is doing with Obergefell and what is happening with Jack Phillips. But now Jack Phillips gets his day at the U.S. Supreme Court. And I think this is good news for several reasons. One is that these are test cases. And by God's ordination, by God's sovereignty, he wants to test the fiber of the nation. He wants to test the fiber of men like Chief Justice John Roberts. He wants to see the integrity of these men, whether they will stand or fall on these great tests of righteousness. Will they stand for righteousness, for the commandments of God, or will they stand with Nero? And that's the big question placed against the Supreme Court of the United States as they embrace this opportunity and take on the Jack Phillips Denver Baker case. Will they stand for righteousness or not? I can't tell you the outcome of this one, Steve.
No, it looks like it could be a First Amendment versus convenience kind of case. And so it's going to depend on whether or not they take the First Amendment as freedom of expression and freedom of religion as the most important, or whether or not the convenience of somebody who's being supposedly discriminated against takes precedence.
You know, I was chatting with Mike Ferris from the ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom Organization, down in Phoenix, Arizona, several weeks ago. And apparently the legal argument will probably center around convenience. That is, already the sexual orientation has been associated with civil rights, according to the Obergefell decision from 2 years ago. So the whole legal argument will probably center around convenience. There's a difference between an African-American trying to get a hotel in a racist town at 8 p.m. at night in 1964 versus a homosexual trying to get a cake for his wedding. It has to do with how much a person's inconvenienced. That is, if he's got to drive an extra mile to find a baker that's willing to do the particular cake. So I guess the question has to do with whether the person is inconvenienced enough to require a civil penalty for the guy who's denying service. Are there other establishments available? Weddings typically aren't urgent matters, whereas, you know, wanting some particular transportation to take you from one place to another, perhaps to a medical clinic, or needing hotel accommodations for the night, pretty important. But a wedding you can plan. A wedding you can let your fingers do the walking and call several bakers and ask them if they're willing to do this or that. So it's a matter of inconvenience. How inconvenienced are they if they're going to take, if they're going to deny service to one person or another? So apparently that's where the decision is going to lie. It's probably not going to come down to freedom of speech or freedom of religion, but I think that's going to be the way that Jack Phillips and his team of lawyers will argue the case. I think he will argue that this is his right to express himself, and he does not want to express himself in certain art forms, you know, creating certain designs on cakes that would accommodate a homosexual wedding. He has a perfect right to deny service. I think that's the argument he's going to take.
Yeah, and so it'd come down to, you know, an artist who is a painter, would they have to be forced by the government to paint something obscene that they don't want to paint? That's sort of the same argument. And if this sets the precedence, then, you know, all bets are off again. We're still in the loony bin, and the government can force somebody to do something that they vehemently oppose doing.
Well, I think what folks need to understand is that Obergefell, the decision from several years ago on the part of the Supreme Court of the United States, officially established that sexual orientation is a civil right, just like skin color. So they have associated the idea of sexual orientation with skin color, and have given it the same status. And I think people need to understand that what is happening is, according to the most powerful government authorities in the land, they have determined that skin color and sexual behavior / sexual orientation are effectively the same thing and require the same treatment under the law of the land. The Supreme Court has established that people are born that way. That's the point. They have said they're born that way, as the person with a certain skin color has been born that way. We would say, yes, indeed, they're born that way in sin.
Right. They're born in sin.
Yes. So we would say they're born in sin. They're born that way in sin. But we would distinguish between those who have an orientation towards sexual sin or certain form of sexual sin or drunkenness or whatever it is as, yes, born that way and inheriting the sinful inclinations of Adam and having a specific kind of sin to which they're oriented. So we would say, yes, there's a born that way element within each and every person who is a son or daughter of Adam. But they wouldn't agree with that. They wouldn't say that they're born that way in sin, but they're born that way in the same sense that people with a certain skin pigment are born that way. That's the Supreme Court of the United States decision that has come down as of several years ago. And of course, that's going to have its implications relating to public accommodation laws.
Yeah, but I've got another question about this. If they're born that way, what about people like Dennis Jernigan, who was that way and came out of it, got married and had children, and many, many other people who were, quote unquote, born that way, who no longer are homosexual? Were they confused? And if that's the case, are people confused about their skin color?
Skin color can't be changed. I think of the passage, can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard his spots?
Well, there's
right?
one gal that tried to do that. Wasn't she part of the NAACP at one point?
Yeah.
And
there's people who sort of paint their skins, but we all know that's all faked. I mean, the bottom line is you get the skin pigment you get at birth. It can't be changed.
Right.
So, yes, there is a difference, but the Supreme Court of the United States can't quite figure that one out. It's probably not going to come down to a question of freedom of speech or freedom of religion. It's probably going to come down to this convenience issue. But when it comes down to it, we need to bring a biblical principle to bear again and again and again. We need to demonstrate that there is a great deal of contradiction within the systems of the ungodly. We need to challenge the fool in his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceits. And I think that's what Bill Jack did. And I think the Bill Jack example of what he did in requesting certain bakers in Denver to print on the cake certain messages relating to the sinfulness of man, that homosexuality itself was a sin, and that there is salvation through Jesus Christ. These were the messages that Bill Jack wanted printed on cakes. And he was denied service from certain homosexual bakers in Denver. I remember when he intended to do that, you know, he called me down, we prayed together, and I'm just trying to encourage him. I think he was nervous before he went down to do this, but he thought it was important to make this statement and to challenge the fool in his folly. He took this to the Civil Rights Commission in Denver as well, of course, was turned down, but there we begin to see the contradictory nature of the laws. That is religious affiliations are not going to be treated at the same status as sexual orientation, according to the Civil Rights Commission of the state of Colorado. And so I think these sorts of examples are going to be raised at the Supreme Court level when they argue this case next year.
Yeah, one of the things that we can see is that whenever the government or man gives a right that is not given by God or that is even opposed to by God, it's not that this group of people gains any rights, it's that everybody else's loses. Just like what Bill Jack did. He did not have then the right to have these things written on the cake, whereas the homosexuals are saying, yes, we do have that right. And so Jack Phillips no longer has the right not to do something. He must now do something. So we all, the majority of the people lose rights when extra rights or favorable rights not given by God are given to man.
The bigger question is, what should the Supreme Court of the United States do? How does a civil magistrate address the issues of sin in a society? Is it appropriate for the Supreme Court of the United States and for the civil government to impose fines upon people who are failing to follow the regulative state? This, I think, is a question that comes back again and again and again. Matthew 20, verse 15, Jesus speaks of the landowner who has certain assets, and that landowner insists that it's lawful for me to do what I will with my own. Is your eye evil because I am good? So he asks that question. Now, Jesus in this parable would not have suggested an ethic that would have opposed or been in opposition to the laws of God. But the statement he makes in Matthew 20, 15, I think sets a position against the socialist Marxist idea that the government has ultimate control over our means of capital, our resources, our rentals, our money, our investments. The idea that the government has control over these things opposes the basic ethic that Jesus lays out in Matthew 20:15. Here this man has these dollars, this man has these assets. He asks the question, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is your eye evil because I am good? So he asks the question, and by asking the question, Jesus presents an ethical position that opposes the Marxist concept that the government can control what the individual does with his cake manufacturing center or with his hotels or fill in the blank. The bottom line is that there are some sins that are not crimes. And I think we need to remember this. I believe that private hotels have the political right to deny me access for any reason whatsoever. Because of my skin color. Because of my religious affiliation. I believe that these hotels have a right to deny me access. Now, it might be a sin. It wouldn't be nice to deny me service on the basis of my skin color, that I'm white. But I believe that hotels should have the right to deny me service. That is the political right. And no government has any responsibility or right to interfere with that exchange or lack of exchange of goods and services. Period.
Yeah. And I believe then the market has the right to peacefully assemble outside of that hotel.
Sure.
To say that these guys are a bunch of bigoted idiots and don't.
And to put them out of business.
Yeah.
And the bottom line, if some guy has a list of 17 different groups of people he won't serve, then he's going to be out of business in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's always the way it works, especially when he's got a problem with very superficial issues. That is skin color and so forth and so on. So bottom line here, my friends, is that this is a freedom issue, and we need to defend it on the basis of this freedom issue. A man has a right to do with his own things as he sees fit, and the regulative state is a product of socialism, of Marxism, and as Christians, we need to stand strongly against that.
Yeah, over and over again, you can see in the Bible that God is a God of private property and private property rights. That's just one example. Read through the New Testament and the parables. It's over and over again in there that God is for private property rights.
And I don't believe that these public accommodation laws have anything to do with the goodwill of the state. Bottom line, friends, is that these statist organizations are doing their best to regulate private business. The whole idea is to aggrandize the state, increase the power of the state so the state feels that it can regulate every aspect of private business. And that's what the Civil Rights Commissions are doing around the United States. And that's the sort of thing that we as Christians need to stand against. Yes, we need to take a stand on the basis of the Eighth Commandment. We need to take a stand on the basis of the Seventh Commandment. And we need to take a stand on the basis of the second greatest commandment, to love our neighbor as ourselves as well, and to encourage the hotels and the bakers and others to love their neighbors as themselves, while at the same time not supporting the sinful inclinations of those that will encourage bakers and others to support the sinful habits. In the case of hotels, in the case of rentals, in the case of pastors who do not want to officiate homosexual weddings, all of these private organizations need to have a right to deny service to those who want some kind of implicit endorsement on their sinful activity, on their homosexual weddings. We need to continue to fight for this on the basis of the Seventh Commandment, and we need to fight against the public accommodation laws on the basis of the Eighth Commandment, in that the civil government has no right to regulate private business in this manner. And we need to also, at the same time, fight for the Second Commandment, to love our neighbor as ourselves, not to deny service to our brothers and sisters, to those who happen to have a different skin color, or happen to come from a different racial background or a different cultural background. We need to be encouraging others not to deny service on that basis. That is, we need to discourage the idea of hatred on the basis of racism. Of course, racism ultimately is formed in a Darwinian concept, and that was imposed upon the last several generations. And we certainly have talked about that on this program a time or two. Bottom line, there are no races besides the single human race, and we have affirmed that again and again in this radio program. So, again, we're coming back to the laws of God, the great Second Commandment. We've also talked about the Seventh Commandment, the Eighth Commandment, these commandments all violated by our systems today, violated by individuals, violated by governments, and we're not to take one commandment and foist it over the others either. Some people want to embrace that Second Commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, but ignore the Seventh Commandment and the Eighth Commandment. Of course, you know, that's preferring one commandment over the other, and the Word of God encourages us to keep the commandments of God, that is plural, commandments of God, to pay attention to all the commandments of God and not pick and choose one over the other. So we've been bringing the commandments of God to bear on this radio program today in order to address the important issues of the day, the issues that are capturing the attention of the U.S. Supreme Court, and I hope that this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast has been helpful to equip the man of God for every good work as we face the increasing irrationality and the breakdown, the moral breakdown of an entire republic, entire civilizations. You've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. Encourage you to a resource called Keep the Faith on Sexuality, in which we talk about these specific issues. It's a little book called Keep the Faith on Sexuality, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Thursday, June 29th, AD 2017. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. A Christian Ethiopian woman named Workatu was martyred a few months ago by her Muslim husband, according to Open Doors USA. After converting to Christianity last August, Workatu suffered regular beatings from her husband and threats from the Islamic community, eventually ending in her death. By God's grace, two of Workatu's sons have now turned to Christ, telling Christian leaders they want to know more concerning the Lord their mother worshipped. A villager and friend of Workatu has also embraced Christianity. As Joseph said in Genesis 50, verse 20, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Please pray for the conversion of Workatu's husband and this Muslim community. Three Republicans are expected to oppose the Senate health care bill that will defund Planned Parenthood for 1 year. The surprise is that two pro-life senators, Rand Paul of Kentucky and Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, stated on Monday that they want, quote, more time, unquote, to discuss the bill and will not back it yet. The Worldview asked Carol Tobias of National Right to Life if pro-life advocates are happy with the bill.
There are one or two places where we're still, you know, trying to tweak it a little bit. Overall, this is a very strong pro-life bill. It's a lot better than Obamacare. And quite frankly, if the Senate doesn't pass this bill, we are stuck with Obamacare.
Tobias also shared one big request that we could pray for as we watch the bill.
I think we should be praying that the senators who are deliberating on this bill have wisdom to know what is best for this country, including unborn children. And I would ask that also that we just pray that God's will be done.
May God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10. On Tuesday, Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin signed House Bill 128 into law. The legislation, which easily passed the Kentucky House and Senate, allows the state's public schools to teach courses on the Bible. Bevin signed the Biblical Literacy Bill during a public ceremony, which was opened with prayer. A Christian preschool run by the Salvation Army in Sweden can no longer allow children to pray before meals, speak about the Bible, or say Amen, reported the Swedish national broadcaster STV. This came after education inspectors for the municipality said such religious activities violate the country's Education Act. The act forbids schools from including confessional elements in the school day. But God says in Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Last year, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg posted he is not an atheist and religion is, quote, very important, unquote. Now, Zuckerberg suggests Facebook groups can help fill the void left by declining membership in churches and other organizations. Zuckerberg held his first Facebook community summit last week in Chicago. He told CNN Tech his company's new mission is, quote, to give people the power to build community and bring the world closer together, unquote. Zuckerberg failed to mention that the gospel is the only true basis for community. Arkansas Capitol Police arrested 32-year-old Michael Tate Reed of Van Buren yesterday morning after the man drove a vehicle into the Capitol's 6-foot-tall Ten Commandments monument, reports Arkansas Online. Reed was previously charged with destroying a Ten Commandments monument in Oklahoma. The monument was put up just this Tuesday in keeping with a 2015 piece of Arkansas legislation requiring the installation of the monument on Capitol grounds. Another Ten Commandments monument has already been ordered. VidAngel is back. After months of legal battles with Disney and other Hollywood companies over alleged copyright infringement, the movie filtering company is back in business with a new service for viewers to filter inappropriate content from Netflix, Amazon, and HBO. VidAngel is still waiting for a ruling on their appeal hearing before the Ninth Circuit Court. And that's the World View in 5 minutes. On this Thursday, June 29th, in the year of our Lord, 2017, invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.